Good morning to all of you. Right. I'm going to begin with a story. It's about a missionary pastor who lived somewhere up in the mountains. He had a very tough life. And at the end of the month, he felt like, why don't I have enough money again? And he was really, really sad. And he really did not know what to do. It's hard for him to see his wife, you know, not having enough food. And to make things worse, his young son was crying out for milk. Where can I find monies to feed my family? So with the last $10 in hand, he decided that he wants to take away all his problems and not want to think about it anymore. So he bought a train ticket and wanted to go into the city. But then he was moved as he came to Doonside. There seems to be an urge that he must get down from Doonside. And so when he got down from Doonside, he saw a cow. Right? And a farmer was there. The farmer said and made a challenge to everyone who gathered around the cow. And he said, if anyone can make my cow cry, I will give him or her $1,000. Ooh, great challenge. So everybody came up to the cow. Some punched the cow, some pulled the tail, some shake the horns, some poke at the cow. Nothing happens. So this missionary pastor says, well, I might as well give it a try. So he came up to the cow, whispered some words into the cow's ears, and the cow started crying. Wow, that's incredible, the farmer says. What did you say to my cow to make her cry? The missionary pastor says, I just told your cow the sad story of a pastor, missionary pastor's life. Oh, okay. And then next month, the missionary also, you know, he ran out of money again. And he did the same thing, bought another ticket and wanted to go to the city. And again, the Spirit of the Lord seems to lead him back to the same spot in Doonside. What is this outside the post office? The farmer said, last month I brought my cow here, and the missionary pastor told a sad story of his life to my cow, and my cow ever since has refused to work and refused to stand up. So if anyone can make my cow stand up and walk, I will give him $10,000 this time. So everybody came again, you know, pull the cow's horn, poke at the cow, pull the cow's tail, and everything. Nothing, the cow would not stop crying. And then the missionary pastor said, maybe it's my turn again. So he went up to the cow, whispered some words to the cow, and the cow just stopped crying, stood up and ran away. And then the farmer said, no, no, it's not you again. Now what did you tell my cow this time? Oh, I just asked the cow a simple question. Would you like to be a missionary pastor? You know, being a missionary pastor is not easy. There are a lot of challenges. For anyone who wants to serve the Lord and commit his or her life to serve the Lord, can expect to face challenges. It's not easy, but we have the Lord who is with us all the time. Helen Stanley Rice wrote a poem entitled, What is Life? In there she wrote, life is a sojourn here on earth, which begins the day God gives us birth. And then she ends the poem with this, so be sure to heed God's voice whenever life asks you to make a choice. Cost of living is skyrocketing recently. Many people are doing it tough. Maybe we can hopefully find ways to spend less or make our money stretch a little bit longer. But wouldn't it be glad that God could answer our prayers? Wouldn't it be glad that we could trust in a God who can meet our daily needs? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask of you to speak now, for we, your servants here, are listening. We pray, O Lord, that this day you will give to us our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, I'll read it out to you. It says this: Here is what I have seen to be good and fitting, to eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. Furthermore, as for many men to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and received his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Wouldn't it be good for us that in life we trust in God enough to realize that everything is a blessing from God, and that we could enjoy whatever that the Lord has given to us. And so we are glad to hear from Jesus' words when he taught us to pray for our daily bread, our daily needs, that the Lord will supply our daily needs. Not 100 pizza or a fantastic pool, but just to be able to be found, you know, trusting in the Lord 100%. In my own personal experience, I find that in knowing more about the kingdom of God enables me to make this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, a little bit more meaningful, a little bit better, a little bit more willing to trust in him. Now, for the past 2 weeks, we have heard about the kingdom of God. If I may, just let me expand it a little bit more. And I'm still learning about the kingdom of God. And even until this morning, when I was in the toilet, I was actually thinking about the kingdom of God. And I thank God that there was this understanding a little bit better between the heart of David and the heart of Judah, and how they actually played a part in God's plan of salvation for this world. And I thank God for that. So I'm still learning a lot of things about the kingdom of God. But just let me share with you some of the things that some people said about the kingdom of God. The first one is from this person by the name of Alan Thompson. He's a lecturer in SMBC, and he has written a book entitled Acts of the Risen Lord Jesus. And in there, he tries to explain to us that in the book of Acts, we find the inauguration of the kingdom of God, of what Jesus began to do, and how he preached the gospel, and how the sick were healed, demons were cast out, the dead were raised. And so from there, that was the beginning of the kingdom of God. And he also talks about that in the book of Acts, it's really a continuation of the kingdom of God, because it's all about not just the acts of the Holy Spirit or the acts of the apostles, but it was the acts that the apostles were doing in obedience to Jesus and as directed by the Lord Jesus himself. Then he talks about people who wants to enter into this kingdom must actually accept Jesus as their Savior and accept Jesus and his teachings in order to be part of the kingdom. Then there is this person by the name of Frank Tillman, and he says that the kingdom of God and salvation history is actually that if you really look at it, everything in this world belongs to God. He has the sovereign rule over creation. He also talks about God then says that, there is this plan of salvation, that this kingdom of God that he wants to reveal to Israel, and from there, he will reveal it to everyone in this world. And we learn from Hannah's song that Hannah said that the Lord himself is horn. The king who trusts in the Lord is also horn to Israel. And he says that mankind actually are capable of doing right and wrong. And so we find it interesting that Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, in his song, he addressed that there is a time will come, and it's going to be very soon, that God will raise up a horn of salvation. And this horn of salvation is found in the Lord Jesus himself. And in Jesus' ministry, he talks about being inclusive, that we see Jesus embracing those who were outcast, those that people do not want to associate with, whom the teachers of the law has written off. Jesus reached out to them. Jesus reached out to the poor, the sick, the needy. And he reached out even to those beyond Israel, to the Samaritan woman, to the Gentile, the centurion. And so for those of us who follow Jesus, we must also adopt Jesus' understanding about the kingdom of God, and we must include everyone. And following Jesus is not easy because it requires us to take up the cross and to follow him. But that's not just only like, oh man, that's really sad. You know, following Jesus is just only all about taking up the cross. But it's also an adventure. An adventure with Jesus says that if we follow him, he will meet our every need. Some of us may be called to lay down our lives. Yeah, sure. But God will never, never forsake us. Then he says that prayer is the hallmark of faithfulness in the midst of persecution. And in this book, New Testament Theology, he talks about what Jesus taught the disciples and how to pray is actually being practiced in the book of Acts. That when they were persecuted, they begin to even pray more earnestly. And I think that is the thing that we missed in this in our society today. That we refuse to pray, that we don't want to pray, and we think that we can, you know, to do things by ourselves, by our own strength, and just we don't need God at all. When in fact, we really do need God every day. I need thee every hour. Then we should ask ourselves, would Jesus teach his disciples to pray prayers that he would not embrace himself? Look at the Lord's Prayer, and look at the prayer that Jesus prayed while on the night before the crucifixion. Not my will, but yours be done. Right? Just one example. And to sum it up all, Mark Strauss, in his book, Four Portraits, One Jesus, says, to pray is intimacy with the Father. And these were his words. And he says, Luke's purpose in all of this is to show Jesus' unique relationship with God. To do his Father's will, he must stay in intimate fellowship with him. The church of Luke's days will be encouraged to do the same. And it will be the same for us as well. That if we want to know God's will, that if we want to pray and mean prayers like, your will be done, give us today, give us this day our daily bread, then we must understand who God is. We must enter into an intimate relationship with Jesus and with the kingdom of God. Who is in charge? You know, a lot of times when we face up with problems, the first thing that that comes to our mind is, now how can I solve this problem? Instead of, now I will come to God in prayer. You know, it's as if like, I want to be in charge. I want to sing the song that Frank Sinatra sang. I did it my way. Me and me alone. But actually, who is in control? Take a look at this picture here. All right, the astronaut on a skateboard. Is he doing it or is there someone controlling him? Nobody knows. But that is not what God wants us to adopt. He wants us to know that we are not the master of our destiny. All right, it is God. Our whole life is in God's hands. Sing the Sunday school song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brothers. He's got you and me, sisters, in his hands. God has got everything in his own hands. And if I know that God is in control, why am I afraid to pray the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. If I know that God is good, Why am I afraid to pray this prayer? Because God will meet my needs. What if we could have a glimpse of our future? Maybe when we think that if we have this information about what's going to happen to us in the future, maybe we could avoid accidents. We could avoid calamities. We want to be in charge. And that's why maybe a lot of people go for palmistry, have the palms read, have the fortune to foretell, or even look at horoscope, or shall I say horoscope. You know, like I am Scorpio. Today, 4th of September, it says here, do not go to the sea, you will drown. Okay, I will not go to the sea. We tend to trust in external forces and influences rather than the Lord himself. Yet God says to us in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. This is the promise that God has given to us. He will be with us. Now, the following slides will be, that I'll take you through. It's about how Stephanie and I came to, trust in the Lord enough to say that we leave everything and depend on the Lord for our daily needs. Some say to us, it looks like you guys have got great faith. Actually, that's very far from the truth. I think we are more like this cartoon character here, an aspiring disciple who needed flotation device to help us walk on water. It's like, man, maybe I can't do it, Maybe some external help would be good. And the Lord himself knows that we needed a lot of encouragement. He knew that, if he had thrown us into the deep end, we would have drowned. He needed to bring us from step 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 in order to help us, to bring us to this situation where we can trust in the Lord 100% for our daily needs. For myself, I heard the calling of God to serve God in a full-time capacity in a pastoral role when I was in my late teens and also, in the late 1970s. And my experience with the Lord is this, that he provides everything for me, literally everything. Would you believe it that while I was in Malaysia, I've never ever applied for a single job in my whole life? Never. It's always when I pray that the Lord opens up opportunities for me. Literally, you never believe it, and I don't believe it myself until I prayed and the Lord, just gave me the jobs. But then one day while I was praying in Kuala Lumpur, at the time then I was working in Kuala Lumpur, I told God, no, God, I'm not willing to serve you. Because when I was praying, there seems to be an urge in my heart that tells me that I must give up the job, go back to my hometown, and prepare myself to serve him on a full-time basis. And I said to God, no. Guess what? In less than 3 months, I lost my job. I said, what? And God told me that it is the Lord himself who gives, and it is also he who can remove it for me. I learned my lesson and I confess my sins to God. And I says, God, yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm willing to go to serve you full time. In other words, I'm saying, well, God, I lost, you win. But in there, he taught me one thing. He taught me to pray and to pray with boldness. Because it was during this time that I says, God, I'm willing to serve you, full time. But before I do that, I have one request, that I would like to write a software for the police, a criminal recording system for the police. To me, it's like, well, who in the world would ask me to write a program for the police station to keep records of criminals, and criminal activities? It's like, well, I thought nothing about it. But one day, while I was still jobless and walking in the supermarket with Stephanie, I met up with a former boss, and he said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm back here in a hometown, in Ipoh. He says, oh, that's great. I'm looking for someone to write a software. He says, what software? Oh, criminal recording system for the police. My jaws literally dropped, and I said, God, thank you. You honored my prayer. I will honor my part. If you allow me to serve you on a full-time basis, I will gladly do it. And so God taught me to trust in Him, that everything that I ever possessed was given to me by His good self, and that I should not be afraid to pray bold prayers. And here's me jumping off a bridge in New Zealand, all right? And, to be frank, when you are being tied up, your legs are all tied up and you're at the edge of the platform and you're looking down and says, oh man, that's 46 meters down. Should I jump or should I not jump? I wish Jack was there. You jump, I jump, but Jack was not there. But what made me jump? Well, it was actually the thought that I have already given $200, you know? Jump or don't jump, I will lose the money. Might as well jump. Die also, it's all right, you know, jump. But there was another factor. There was a group of Chinese tourists. You know, the bus just came, and I don't know them, and they were like, sorry. And they were all ready with the cameras and smartphones. And to me, it's like, if I don't jump, they're going to have a story to tell back home in China. So I said, all right, I'll jump. And I jumped. That feeling of being free like a bird. Wow, that's fantastic. You know? It's like you're floating there. Wow, it's so good. Wow, it's so nice. And then you hear a voice, hey, grab the stick. And the boat at the bottom, you know, pulled me in. Right. Sometimes taking the plunge, it can be difficult. It's that taking that first step into, so to speak, the unknown. To trust in God 100%, not knowing where your next income is going to be from. That's pretty scary. We worked in an organization, a church, where everyone who serves God actually depend on people's givings. There are no salaries given. We just depend on God. If people don't give, you don't eat. That's all. Right? So it's like, okay. And I remember that was in 1990, February 1990. My son was only 3 months old. It was Chinese New Year period, and I know there wasn't anyone in church during that time. So I went to the church, and I cried before the Lord. And there were 4 questions that I asked from God. Okay. One is, how can I support my family? I cannot see a way forward. Will I be able to share God's words faithfully? Will people listen when I share the word of God? Will I find joy in serving the Lord? I have no answers to all this. And I just cried and poured out and cried, you know, before the Lord. And I didn't want Stephanie to say that, so I just went to church all by myself. That was 3 p.m. in the afternoon, third day of Chinese New Year. And after some time in church, I went home, you know, just trying to figure out how God will answer, you know, those questions that I have in my mind. The next morning, The Lord showed me Isaiah 55, because that day was Isaiah 55 was the passage for my quiet time that morning. And in there, God answered every question that I had, this great concern that I have in my heart. How can I support my family? You who have no money, come buy and eat. Why spend money on things that does not satisfy? It's as if God was telling to me, I know it's taken out of context, but it's as if that God is telling me, trust in me, I will supply. I can see no way forward. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. Will I be able to share God's word effectively? God says, just as you know, the rains waters the earth, so when my word goes out, it will not return to me void. It is not my words. It is God's word. That when I share God's word, I will leave it to God and God will do his purposes, not me. It is God. Will people listen? I know this part of the scripture here refers to the Lord Jesus himself, drawing people to himself. Will people listen? And the word of God says, people you don't know will come to you. And actually, it actually came true. People that I don't know, people from different walks of life, God gave me the opportunity to lead them into his kingdom. So, God answered that prayer. And I needed joy. I needed that peace, that joy. And God says, you will go out with joy. And through these years serving the Lord since 1991, there are times of joy, there are times of sadness, there are times when you just like you want to pull your hair up. That's why I don't have any more hair. You know, so it's like but at the end of it, it's like God is still in control, and I can still pray. Give us this day our daily bread. I thought I was very noble. God, now I'm in full-time service. I am willing to give up everything, even to my bucket list, going to the lost city of Petra. Why do I like Petra? Simply because I saw some really good photographs from National Geographic and also Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Dan-dan-dan-dan, riding a horse in there. So I thought, I must go to this place. But I said, God, I'm going to give this all up to you. And I gave it all up to the Lord. Then the church asked me to find the cheapest air ticket to attend a conference in Rome. And so I found that for that period of time, that short period of time, that if I fly to any part of Europe, with a Royal Jordanian Airlines, they're going to throw in a 3 days all-expense-paid holiday in Jordan, and that includes Petra. Wow! And that was the cheapest air ticket. Wow! And I traveled in style in Jordan. Can you imagine from Amman to Petra is like 300 kilometers away? I sat in a stretch limousine, Mercedes-Benz SEL 500 stretch limo. Man, that's the life. Yeah. I didn't expect that. But the Lord gave it. Be watchful, right? Watch out and do not make it your life's aim to be just rich in terms of wealth and monetary wealth, but make sure that you are rich towards God. Don't worry, because God will always take care of us. Whatever we have given up, this is what I learned, whatever that I've given up to the Lord himself actually bless me in return. You see, let me read to you another verse. Sorry. I hope it will not take too long. I was once preaching in an estate in Malaysia. I spoke for about an hour, and then I see people's faces was getting really long. 1 hour message. So I thought, oh man, I better end now. So I ended the message, and then the pastor of the church says, "You preach for 1 hour." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I noticed that they were not very pleased." Yeah, they were not pleased because they expected 3 hours. I'm not going to be preaching for 3 hours here, but just let me read to you from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I thought I was very noble. I've given everything up to the Lord. But this was what God says. "Give and it will be given to you. They will be poured out into your lap, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standards of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Just imagine you have a bucket. You pour into barley or wheat or whatever. It's like pressed down, good measure, pressed down, shaken together to make sure there's no air bubbles inside. And it's running over. And that's how much God will look after each one of us if we dare to trust in Him. So when I went to this place, Petra, that third column on the right, I remember just going there and just, like Indiana Jones, just touching it and says, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You have given this. You have blessed me with this travel here. I thank you." And in those days, I don't know whether you are able to do it now, but in those days, I actually rode a horse into Petra, right? And the horse handler asked me the question, "Do you know Indiana Jones?" I said, "Yeah, he's my good friend." He looked at me. But yeah, it was good fun. All I'm saying is, the Lord will look after us. Okay? He will. But remember this thing also. Will the Master find me faithful when He returns? God has inaugurated, Jesus has inaugurated the kingdom of God in the book of Luke. He is continuing His work in the book of Acts and until now. But there will come a time when Jesus shall return to take us to be with Himself. But when He does come for us, or if we should go to Him first, will He find us faithful? Important question for us to ask ourselves. Like I said, I was in Rome. We had a very good conference. We heard stories of missionaries, what God is doing in the mission fields, how the Lord has provided for them, and all sorts of things. And then we were given a tour of the city of Rome to all the Christians' places, right? Like the catacombs, the Colosseum, the prison where Peter and Paul were kept before their execution. And I went underneath, below the St. Peter's Basilica and saw Peter's grave. All these things, I was like, oh, all right, okay, good. But my highlight of the day was actually the five spears that I saw when I went back to the conference venue. I say to myself, I will never ever touch relics. But I broke that promise. And I said to myself, I have to touch these five spears. That was my highlight, because these were the five spears that killed these five missionaries. And one of them is Jim Elliot. We know who he is. We say to ourselves, these are five young men full of potential. God sent them to Ecuador to reach out to the Waldai tribe. And they died without winning one soul for Jesus. What a waste. in God's economy, do you think that is a waste? The mission that God has given to them was to lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel. And that day, I asked myself the question that if God were to send me out into the mission fields, and in the 1980s, that was my dream, that I want to serve God in Sri Lanka, will I be willing to lay down my life as these five men did? So God was teaching me, you know, step by step, to know how to trust in Him, to know how to pray for my daily needs, to pray that I will be able to serve Him, you know, in His kingdom, in the place where He sent me. Our desire to serve the Lord is that we want to follow our church's model. All right, that we will take no goal with us, that we will totally just depend on the Lord for to meet our daily needs. Now, I'm not saying that there are some people, you know, when they go to missions, that they've joined an organization where they have to raise enough funds before they go. Now, God deals with each one of us individually. And God will convince in our hearts individually which path to take and choose. And there is no such thing as, that this is the only way. My way is the best way. No, it's not. It is God's way directing me what to choose, directing us what to choose and where to go. And so we have made that decision to follow God 100% and allow Him to teach us and to teach us every day and to supply our every need. The harvest is plentiful. Workers are few. Preach this kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is near. That is our mission and our message to people we have not known Christ. The kingdom of heaven is near. You must repent. You must come back to God. Harvest is plentiful. Are we willing to go? Serving God is not easy. It has its challenges. But God has met all our daily needs. For how many years already? 17 years? Yeah? 17 years in Australia. God has met our every need. In the first 10 or 12 years, Centrelink was pretty surprised and they asked us, how did you guys survive in Sydney without any Centrelink help? We have no answer. But we just depended on the Lord. The Lord met our every need. Right? The church that supported us, it's not that they are bad, it's just that they don't have enough finances to support us fully. And so we have to depend on the Lord, and the Lord has been faithful. And I can tell you, God is faithful. And if you set your heart to serve the Lord, just forget about, you know, where your next meal will come from. Because if you know in your heart that this is what God wants you to do, and this is where God wants you to be, and this is what God really, really wants you to be at that point in time, He will meet your every need. Audio control, can I ask that you turn up the volume? Because there's a song with this slide. Is it possible to play the song? It's from Apple TV. Okay. This song is entitled "Touch of the Master's Hands." If you ask us, why are we willing to go? It's because we've been touched by the Master's hand. Is there anybody? Ah, okay. It's all right. Probably I'll try to send the link to them after this, and we can hear it later on. But it's all about me not worthy in the sight of the world, but God actually used us to be part of her, to serve him in his kingdom. People say to us, why are you going to Australia? Some say, why do you choose to live a life like that? Like, you trusted in the Lord 100% and not wanting to do any, and not knowing where your next meal will come from. But then on the other hand, there are people who say, why are you going to Australia? I think I know why. You're going there to enjoy life, isn't it? What? Enjoy life in Australia? You know how much danger there are here in Australia. You have the redback spider. You have bears that can climb trees. You know, the koala bear. You know, like, it's dangerous country. No, sorry. But really, it's not easy serving God. Better yet in Australia or Africa or Timbuktu or Sri Lanka. It's never easy. But if you set your heart to follow God, it will never be wrong. Oh, you can do it? No. No, it's okay. Maybe it's time now for us to have our communion, all right?